Amen. That's why we come to church. Our batteries run low. We get to church, He recharges us. Amen. Aren't you glad His mercies are new every morning? Didn't that sound good? Amen. I appreciate not only the singing, but those testimonies from our young people. Amen. I don't want to lie to you, but I'm pretty sure tonight will be the last night of our series, our Bible study on overcoming. If you turn with me to Proverbs 27, this should be the last evening with that. I don't be like that time I did the series on David, and someone told me we were living it right with David, hour by hour, day by day. I got the message. Praise the Lord. I hope you have received the help that was on my heart from this series on overcoming. I do believe we can be overcomers. We don't have to be overcome. We can be overcomers. And as I preached recently, and I can't remember which sermon, you don't just have to live with it. I'm talking about the problem, the hang-up, the difficulty, the hurt. You can, through Christ, be an overcomer. How many purposes in your heart you're going to be an overcomer? You know, that implies there are things that's going to come against us. There's adversity. There's conflict. There's difficulty. There's problems. I'll tell you, one of the hardest things to overcome is when life just settles down to the usual, the same old, same old. Folks fall for that. I'm telling you, you can overcome that. And being with Sister Combs today, I was thinking we were not too long back with Brother Combs as he was passing away. And forever, those of us that knew Brother Combs will remember his testifying. And when he got finished, he would always say, "Pray for me. I want to be an overcomer." We can be overcomers. Can you say amen? Tonight, we are going to talk about, don't leave just yet, we're going to talk about overcoming procrastination. You know, I meant to get to this installment of the series a lot sooner, but I just now got to it. Procrastination. Do you ever procrastinate? I am preaching in vain tonight. Maybe I should ask your spouse or your parent or your child, do you ever procrastinate? Here's a scripture tonight. Thank God for His timeless principles of His Word. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. We're talking about procrastination, overcoming. Let's pause for prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, take the vessel, Lord, that's speaking tonight, and the vessels that are listening, and do an eternal work by Your Spirit. God, You remember our frame, and You know, Lord, just what we need to hear and experience. Lord, I pray for Your help tonight as I teach. I pray the Holy Spirit would do an eternal work here. And God, we just pray for a sense of Your presence in the house. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe procrastination can be summarized in the one word that's in this passage, tomorrow. I mean, that's basically what a person does when they procrastinate. They just shove it off, push it off until tomorrow. In fact, they'll say, "I'll do it tomorrow." Mom, Dad says, "Don't you need to do this?" "I'll do it tomorrow." Something pressing, you say, "I'll do it tomorrow." One man studied scripture. He was a great Bible scholar. I forgot his name, but he was a great one. He said the scariest word he ever encountered in scripture was the word tomorrow, because so many folks had used that word in losing their soul. Tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. What is procrastination? Well, let's throw out a few definitions here. Procrastination is putting off until a later time. Instead of doing it now, you tell yourself, "I'll do it later." It's delaying. It's stalling. You parents know what this is. you give your child an assignment, whether it's clean your room, pick up your clothes, take the trash out, and immediately they begin stalling. How many knows what I'm talking about? But it ain't just the kids. Is that right? Delay. Postpone needlessly. Now, if something comes up that prohibits your doing something, that's not procrastination. But when it could be done, but it isn't getting done, that is procrastination, postponing needlessly. Putting off until later what one should be doing now. What one should be doing now. Doing nothing or something of little importance in the place of something of high priority. You're supposed to be writing the research paper, and you begin to cut your eraser straight on the pencil. Okay? You're supposed to be cleaning house, but you end up, well, I'll let you fill in the blank, ladies. I wouldn't venture to do that. It is putting off things until the last possible moment. I heard a student brag today. He said, I did my research paper the night before. Like he deserved a medal. Okay? That's procrastination. How many young people? We got some young people here tonight. How many's had to do a research paper yet? Or some kind of... Okay. Did you wait until the night before? Keep your hand up. If you didn't wait till the night before, go ahead and take your hand down. Ooh, I'm right on target. And all those that raise their hand, would you like to come now or later to the altar? Okay. You wait until bedtime to do your homework? Parents? Do I hear any parents? Until bedtime. Until bedtime. Man, and it's just the kids, right? Wait till April 14th to do your taxes? I'm not getting yours, so you'll have to come up with it. Takes 20 minutes to drive to church, and you wait till 10 minutes before time to start getting ready? Now I've gone to meddling, haven't I? Procrastination, putting off. Why is procrastination so harmful? I'm just going to give you just a few illustrations, and you can add to the list, but I believe there's degrees that have never been earned. You may think that's a secular thing, but it's a good example. There are folks that always met to get their degree, and they never did. That's just an example. Jobs that have never been applied for. I'm going to. Prayers that have never been said. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have time with God. Bible chapters that have never been read. Reconciliations that have never been realized. I'm going to get things right with Him. I'm going to reestablish our friendship. I'm going to get back in contact with them. And you could continue to add to the list. Some will not, but here's the most frightening one. Some will not be prepared for eternity because of procrastination. They keep putting off getting right with God. I believe one of the most notable examples of that is in Scripture. Do you remember when Apostle Paul had been arrested, been called before the magistrate to give his defense? And just interrupting that story right here, and it says, and as Paul reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Procrastinator. And salvation, eternity, was at stake. I can truly say as pastor, there are some folks that are not serving God tonight. If you talk to them, they have always intended to, but they always procrastinate the things of God. I believe procrastination is harmful, don't you? I know in Whittier's poem, the context was different, but I believe it applies to procrastination. And I think often of these words. "For of all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest of these it might have been, except for Procrastination, all that could be accomplished, all that could have been done, all the things that could have been done for the Lord, the way the family could have been directed and matured, but for procrastination. I believe one of the greatest regrets, both at the end of life and at the beginning of eternity, will be expressed by these phrases. Number one, I always meant to. Talk about when someone comes to the end of their life or the beginning of eternity, I always meant to. I intended to get around to it. Has anyone ever said that? I intended to get around to it. I said that one day I would. And so I believe procrastination is truly harmful. Now remember, we're talking about overcoming. We want to get to the overcoming, but we need to know the harm of it. Why do we procrastinate? Go on a journey with me and let's try to analyze why we procrastinate. How many already knows why you procrastinate? Okay, a few, not too many. So I was going to just have you go ahead and share with us, but you might have declined doing so. So I'll share some that I think are reasons we procrastinate. You can add to the list. Number one, laziness. How many knows that our default setting is pretty much lazy? Doesn't matter if the alarm's going off. It's just built within us. It's just, you know why we procrastinate? It's simple. It's easier not to do the thing. It's easier. It's the path of the least resistance. Do I have any young people here that used to be in any of my classes when I taught math? Okay, there's some. Do you remember me getting on to you about the spirit of the slug? Oh, that's not it. There's a slug. The spirit of the slug. How many ever feels the spirit of the slug come upon you? You're sluggish. You just don't want to do it. Still the spirit of the slug. I prayed that God would deliver them. How many ever feels like this when it comes time to do something? We procrastinate because of laziness. It's just easier not to. I think often of this proverb. It says, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold." Now, it's not like it was the midst of winter. It was plowing time, but it was a little chilly that day. And so he said, "I'm not going to plow. It's just a little chilly." Well, the next day it's a little chilly, and the next day it's a little chilly, and the next day it's a little chilly. And so he ends up never plowing. I mean, if you're looking for an excuse not to do something, it'll be there. I'll go on. Man, the slug showed up again, Brother Brad. I'm sorry. It just happened. Here's another reason I think that we procrastinate is because of stress. What do you mean? Well, stress, the thing that you've got to do or should do or need to do, that very thing just fills you with fear or anxiety, or it just bothers you. You know, there's some things we never get around to because every time we think about doing them, they just fill us with anxiety. Can you think of something like that in your life? You know you need to get around to it, but just to think about doing it stresses you out. I'm telling you, there are a lot of things like that in life. They will stress you out. I believe another reason we procrastinate, we're just overwhelmed. It's not that big a thing, but if you add it to every other thing that you got to do, sometimes it feels like the straw that broke the camel's back. How many ever feels you're overwhelmed? Just overwhelmed. I mean, just one more thing. Just one more thing to get to. I believe another reason that we procrastinate, it's something we dislike. There's a whole bunch of things in life that I just can't get too thrilled about doing. I don't get too thrilled about washing my car. No one else volunteers to do it, but I don't get too thrilled about it. There's a lot of things you just dislike, that thing. How many of you students over here, you like homework? Any here like, let me see your hands. Those that like homework. Okay. Spirit of the slug. There are things that we strongly dislike. That's why I've tried to live by this, and I encourage folks, if you got a bunch of things to do, do the things you dread most. Do them first. How many's found that's a good principle to follow? Do the thing you dread getting to most. Do that first. And then I know this is not rocket science, but why do we procrastinate? Because we lack the motivation. We don't see the value in it. We don't see the profit in it. It doesn't matter to us. It may matter to mom. Mom may see the value in it. Dad may see the value, but we don't see the value in it. It may matter to God, but I don't see the value in it, so I lack the motivation. Then there's a lack of discipline. I believe why some folks never get around to anything is because they live their lives without discipline. They have no schedule of when they're going to go to bed, when they're going to get up. I believe there's a time for everything. Amen? And some folks, they just procrastinate. They never can get to it because there's no structure. There's no schedule in their life. Amen. Well, I'll get to that later. Let's just talk about why. Why do we procrastinate? Lack of skill or resources. Some folks, they just don't know how to do it. Or they don't feel like they have the tools or the money. But you know, it's amazing what you can learn if you just get into it. I know in repairing houses, sometimes there's things I dread, I would put off if I could, simply because I don't know how to do it. And I don't know what's going to be required, but I have found if I'll go ahead and get involved in it, I begin to learn as I go, sometimes by many mistakes, lack of skill. Why do we procrastinate? You can add to the list, this last one I'm going to give, perfectionism. Now, not all of us know this malady, this problem. But some, if they can't do it perfect, and if they're not doing it perfect, they're just not going to do it. It's just got to be perfect. She's even having trouble scribbling on the wall. It's got to be perfect. Those are just a few reasons. Amen. Not being motivated. Let me add a few more that I didn't put on the screen here. Some folks procrastinate because they don't realize what a wonderful gift time is. You know, I'm trying to stay off soapboxes here, but I get tired of folks saying they don't have time to serve God. They don't have time to go to church. I want to tell you, the most faithful people to church are the busiest people I know. And you know who the folks are that get things done? It's the busy folk. Right? We all got 24 hours a day, and time is a gift not to be wasted. Amen. Some folks procrastinate because they don't take personal responsibility seriously. They're waiting for someone else to do what is their responsibility to do. Or I believe some folks need to wake up to the ability that God has given them. They need to wake up to the things they could do if they only realized what God had given them. Well, we better go on. Let's go on to the main part as we come to a close tonight. How can I overcome procrastination? I know we preach a lot doctrine, we preach a lot theology, but this is a very practical series, but I believe everything here is backed by biblical principle. How do I overcome procrastination? Serious I can be. Not just put this in here to make it spiritual, because I believe it's true. First of all, we need to pray. I believe we need to pray. I know all of our default setting can be procrastination. Some of us have a temperament. It's not a bigger problem as others, but we all procrastinate. But I want to tell you what happens when we pray. When we pray, our attitude changes. How many have found that so true? When we pray, our attitude, our motives change. Our priorities, our values change. As we pray, I see what needs reordered in my life. As I pray, God encourages me. God changes my very habits when I pray. I just believe we need to pray. And then I believe we need to prioritize. How can I overcome procrastination? Prioritize. I believe it was Sister Brock at the watch night service that brought this into her exhortation, prioritize. I've told the young married couples, and I love working with them and teaching them, but so much of their life, in fact, all of their life, could be conquered, the problems of it, if they would make Christ's admonition the centerpiece of their life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I noted years ago, Brother Larita, he didn't say seek first the kingdom of God and then seek the other things. He simply said seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. In other words, he's talking about prioritizing. If you put the things of God first, that will so change your attitude, so change your perspective, so change your outlook, that if you put the things of God first, the other things will get done. Yeah, you may be doing them, but they'll fall into place. Put God first. Get the button in the right hole, and the other buttons, as you button your sweater, your jacket, will be in the right holes. Prioritize. Prioritize. I learned this as a very young child. It comes Sunday morning time to get ready for Sunday school, get out of bed, you know, in your pajamas, and I'd want to go read a book or do something else. And there would be my dad. He said, "You get cleaned up and you get your church clothes on and then goof off. Then goof off." I've heard that over and over. Do everything you're supposed to do, get it all done, and then you can goof off. I remember in Bible school, I had a fellow student ask me one time why I was so studious. I said, "It's easy, I'm lazy." "You're lazy?" "Yes. I like to goof off. But if I have just one thing that needs to be done, I can't goof off with peace of mind. It's just an unrestful goofing off. And so I go ahead and get everything done so that when I goof off, I got peace of mind." Wouldn't it be wonderful to have peace of mind when you goof off? Now remember what I've told you many times. Some people don't have the peace of God. They're just too lazy to care. How many's found that true too? Well, I didn't mean to kill the spirit there. Prioritize. Homework comes first. Praise God. Where'd that come from? Okay. How many times have I said, I think I said it today. But see, in order to prioritize, we have to reassess our values. Does a TV program take precedent over reading your Bible? Does chatting on the phone come before balancing the checkbook? So many folks, they live their lives and they never prioritize. I believe we need to prioritize our life. I remember years ago when I became principal, it was overwhelming. I was left with quite a lot of things that were undone and records that need to be taken care of, and a staff of 12, and it was my first position, and I just felt so overwhelmed sitting at the desk. And I heard a guy at some workshop I went to, he said, "Every day, ABC, your life." He said, "Everything you need to do, put an A on the things that have to be done that day, B on the things that you need to be done but you can do them another day, and C on the things that would be nice to get done, but it's not really going to matter that much if they don't get done." And I started doing that ABC in my life. Well, I believe we need to ABC all of our life. And you know what the A's are? They're the things of God. Start your day with prayer. Start your day reading the Bible. And I know you do because you're here on a Wednesday night. But put church first and things will begin to fall in place. I'm talking about overcoming procrastination. Pray. I pray until my attitudes about things change. And then I pray with a changed attitude. I prioritize my life. And then proceed at the first possible opportunity. We let what must not be done today keep us from beginning today. I mean, the paper's not due today. Why start today? Andrew came home this week and he said, "Dad, I've got to write a 300-word story." I said, "You do?" He said, "Yeah." He just walked in the door. I said, "When are you going to do it?" He said, "Well, it's not due till next week or 2 weeks. I forgot." I said, "No, son, you're going to start it now." I said, "Go get your snack." Aren't I mean? I said, "Go get your snack, and as soon as you get your snack over, start your... But, Dad, it's not due till then." I'm talking about overcoming procrastination. Proceed at the first possible opportunity. And then prompt yourself. Many of our ministry team here know that I say, if you've got any kind of vision or anything, the first thing you need to do is get a date on the calendar. Why? That's a prompt. We may have to change the date. Today we got memo pads. If you got a smartphone, you got a task manager, you got an alarm. But prompt yourself. Remind yourself. Sometimes that can be a peace of mind. And by the way, kind of incidentally but not, I learned years ago that if I couldn't remember what I needed to get done, I only had to start praying and the devil would remind me. How many of you ever find that to be true? If you don't know what you're forgetting to do, you know, if you're walking around, oh, there's something I need to do, I can't remember. Just start praying. And the devil will start reminding you of everything you need to do. So from years back used to be memo pads. I know it happened in the prayer room tonight. I was trying to pray and it's all the... Start putting them down. Write them down. And with the smartphone, you can put it on the schedule and give yourself a reminder. Man, that sounds spiritual. Package it in doable portions. I was in the dorm as a student, the dorm supervisor, and I'm thankful when folks get spiritual. But they immediately would have this goal that wasn't doable. I mean, they were having trouble praying 3 minutes a day, but they'd get excited about it, and they'd come to me and say, Brother Hurst, I'm going to start praying 3 hours every day and fasting 8 days a week. And I said, you know, let's try this. Why don't you just dedicate yourself to praying 15 minutes a day and maybe fasting one meal a day. And then as you do that, then you can make it a little larger. Put this, I mean, some folks, none of you, I'm just pulling this out of the air. They walk into the house and it's such a mess. They don't clean it up because it overwhelms them. There's just too much. Instead of saying, I'm going to clean the whole house, just say, today, I'm just going to clean that one drawer. Get that drawer cleaned up. And then move on to something else, a closet. See, you can tell I don't know much about cleaning, okay? So you can go ahead and laugh at my illustration. But what I'm trying to say is break it down to doable portions. Break it down to doable portions. And then promise. Now, only promise something you're going to do, but I think, first of all, you need to promise yourself. You just need to, I mean, we do talk to ourselves, but sometimes we need to talk to ourselves firmly. You need to say, you are going to do this. I'm not talking about talking to your spouse. I'm talking about talking to yourself. You are going to do this. One of the greatest men in American history is Jonathan Edwards. What a preacher. His messages affect us even today. And you've heard that before. His descendants, and of 1,700, how many senators, how many bank presidents, college presidents? What a man. But listen to what he said at the beginning of his ministry. He said, I resolve to live with all my might while I do live. I resolve never to lose one moment of time and to improve my use of time in the most profitable way I possibly can. I resolve never to do anything I wouldn't do if it were the last hour of my life. Did you hear what he said? He said, I'm going to make the best use of my... He lived his life that way. He promised himself. He resolved. I know it was to God too, but he was promising self, I'm not going to waste time. I'm talking about overcoming procrastination. Just tell yourself you're going to do it. And then sometimes we need to make promises to others. Now, I honestly believe this. One of the things that my wife knows this that really gets under my skin. Maybe I shouldn't tell you, but you know, some folks find it easy to say they're going to do something because in the moment they're excited and, you know, they're wanting you to feel good and them to feel good. And they'll say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, we'll do this, we'll do this, we'll do this. And it never happens. I'm of the persuasion you should never say, I'm going to do this unless you fully, completely intend on doing it. And in the moment you're saying, I'm going to do it, you're already planning in your mind how you're going to accomplish it. I believe we just need to tell some folks. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a parent. And then keep our word to them. Now it's not just impersonal task. It's a promise you've made. How about that? The child comes to you and says, Mom, Dad, I'm going to start my research paper today. Just make a promise and then keep your promise. And then I believe we overcome procrastination by living with a purpose. You know, we're not here without a purpose. We're here with a purpose. And real basically, our purpose is to fulfill our responsibilities. I will not get on a soapbox tonight, but most of the ills of our nation, from politics to economics to morality, come from the simple thing that folks are taught anymore that they don't need to take care of their personal responsibility. The way to overcome procrastination is what I can do for myself, I should expect nobody else to do. Right? If you can pick up your dirty clothes, you should off the floor. You shouldn't expect anybody else to do that. In other words, if you got the hands and the coordination and the strength and you can bend over and pick up your dirty clothes off the ground, you should not expect anybody else to do that. Now that's just an example. Again, I'm drawing these things out of the air. I'm not fishing for anyone. So don't elbow your spouse in the ribs or anything, and let's move on. Live with a purpose. Amen. I believe our purpose is to make a difference. That's why we don't procrastinate. We're going to make a difference. We're going to accomplish things in life. We're going to live for the Lord. We're going to do our best, and He's going to do the rest. We've got a purpose to live. Young people, God's got a plan for your life. And when you really realize that, you won't procrastinate because you'll want to live the plan of God. And then last of all, and you can add to this, but if we're going to overcome temptation, we need to persist. A lot of times you won't feel like it.